soap, grow, and produce.
Jesus, that's the only name that should get all of our attention, especially in this hour. Be it that we come in here with our hearts and minds open to receive that which it is he is going to give us. I want to read from the book of Exodus, the third chapter, the book of Exodus, the third chapter. And we'll begin reading at the 10th verse. Y'all look good this morning. I hadn't been up here in a while at 9 o'clock, and we've gone through the ministerial staff, and I've got a task before me because they've been preaching 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 13 minutes. One of my deacons told me, Pastor, we're going to fire you for 9 o'clock. Thank God they didn't hire me. Amen. Praise God. I'm chosen. Amen. Exodus 3 and 10. Before I read, I want to talk this morning from the subject, living before you die. Living before you die. Ask your neighbor, have you lived yet? Living before you die. Living before you die. 10 says, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. 11 says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I, Moses says. Before you take your seats, tell your neighbor, your excuse should never outweigh your assignment. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Your excuse should never outweigh your assignment. Raise your hand if you at any point in time made an excuse. Amen. God bless you. 99% of us are honest and 1% are lying. And we've all made excuses, if you will. And we've made excuses so that maybe the person that we're talking to won't ask again. Or we make excuses trying to justify a means to our action. We make excuses, some of us, all the time. Doesn't matter where you fall in this line of work, where you fall in ministry, at some point in time, because of our human ability, we're going to make excuses. And what seems to amaze me, as in the body of Christ, that we're to bring his kingdom from there to here. In other words, the theologian or the scholar would tell you to bring the celestial to the terrestrial. That's bringing the kingdom of God here on earth, which is our call and duty. The excuses that we make reminds me of Exodus 3 and 10, where Moses is talking, conversing with God. The Lord appears to Moses in a flame of fire out of the midst of a burning bush. Now let me stop right here for a minute so I can stay on task. I did some studying and I come to the realization that in this desert, it was nothing new for bushes to be on fire. There was nothing new for a bush to be burning. The fact that the bush was not consumed baffled Moses. And so the bush that was not consumed caught Moses' attention. And when it catches his attention, God says, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Immediately when God spoke, the Bible says that Moses immediately, watch this to see if you fit in this category. Immediately Moses makes an excuse. Somebody say excuses. All the things that he didn't have and could not do. You know anybody like that? If you got somebody sitting beside you, don't look at them, especially if they're your spouse. He makes excuses concerning a commandment. Watch this now. Of what God has given him to do concerning his assignment. Now, I want you to take note that Moses was not a general. He was a shepherd. He was not a polished leader, if you will. He had a speech impediment. Some know it as a stuttering tongue. He was not equipped, watch this, to lead a nation. He had his hands full leading a flock of sheep. How could he possibly, watch this, do what God was asking or tasking him to do? Moses says, or asks the question, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel, your people, out of Egypt? And here we see Moses making this mistake, and it moves me and grieves me because there are many folks today who makes this mistake. Have you not discovered that God rarely uses people who position themselves for leadership, who positions themselves for to be on the council, to position themselves? You know what? God really calls, you know, the pastors, the real pastors. Let me step aside for a minute. The real pastors, because I don't want you to think that I'm not humble. But the real people that God uses are the very folks who comes out of the grime, who comes, watch this, from the ghetto. Folks who really weren't born with a silver spoon. Why, read the Bible. Who wasn't born with a silver spoon in their mouth. The people that come off of welfare, who's been impoverished people, the people who grew up with little to nothing. I'm not saying that he can't use somebody who comes from a rich family, but God seems to pull the minute, the small, the challenged, if you will, to use for his glory. I feel good this morning. I ain't been at 9 o'clock service, and I ain't got about 5 more minutes according to what we've been preaching. So let me move on. And so he has his hands full leading a flock of sheep. How could he possibly do what God is asking him to do? Who am I? Moses asked. Such a mistake. He made the error, watch this, of thinking it was about him. About his talents, about his abilities, about his gifts. But God will correct you. God quickly corrects Moses over and over and over and over and over again throughout the rest of the chapter. Isn't that just like God? God will correct you even in your so-called doing well. Exodus 3 and 6 says that I am the God of your father. 3 and 10 says that I will send you to Pharaoh. 3 and 14 says, I am, I love it, that I am. 3 and 17 says, I will bring you up. Somebody say up. Exodus 3 and 20 says, I will stretch out my hand. He's encouraging Moses after giving him an assignment that he feels that he's not good enough to fulfill. Good God Almighty. 3 and 21 says, I will give this people people, watch this, favor. By the end of the conversation, somebody say by the end, Moses had learned a valuable lesson. The great I am is the great I will. Good God Almighty. The great I am is the great I will. God is the fulfiller of his word. He's not looking, watch this, for the most talented. I'm about to help you this morning. He's not looking for the most intelligent. He's not looking for the most beautiful. I don't know why you spend so much time in the mirror. He's not looking for the most articulate. He's not looking, watch this, for the most educated. Stop getting all those degrees. He's not looking for the most charismatic. He's looking for a willing vessel who will do his will. Somebody say assignment. He's looking for those who will follow, who will yield, who will obey. Ask your neighbor, are you obedient to the assignments of God? If you don't feel, watch this, qualified for one reason or another, and there are many of us in this room this morning, and also that are watching this morning through the World Wide Web, that feel that they do not qualify. Take courage from Jesus' disciples. When Jesus chose them, he didn't go to the University of Jerusalem. When Jesus chose the disciples, he didn't select the brightest young bunch from the synagogue. When he chose his disciples, watch this, he went down to the fishing docks of Hall River, Alamance County. Watch this now. When he chose his disciples, he chose the roughnecks from Evelyn, North Carolina, preach pastor, Durham, North Carolina, Alamance, North Carolina, Maryland, North Carolina, Washington, D.C., North Carolina, Hillsboro, North Carolina, Hall River, North Carolina. He says, I choose you. I chose you for such as a time like this. He didn't choose the cream of the crop, but Jesus made a deal. Watch this with him. He says, if you, he's a bad boy. He says, if you will follow me, I will make you. Woo, tell your neighbor, I will make you. I will make you. So you gotta put the ending in there, because nobody knows your calling like you do. He says, if you will follow me, I will make you. I will make you. I'm the great I am. And the great I am is the great I will. I will make you fishers of men. I will make you a homeowner and not a borrower. I will make you a pastor. I will make you a leader of the business. I will make you a good husband. I'll make you a good wife. I'll make you a good child. I'll make you. Stop underestimating the God that lives inside of you. I feel like preaching, but I only got 1 minute left. If we will follow him, he will make us. Oh my goodness. Let me say that again, because y'all didn't catch it. I said, if we will follow him, he will make us. You still didn't catch it. If you will follow him, Markel, he will make you. If you will follow him, Joseph Jones, he'll make you. If you will follow him, Mind Team, he will make you. Media, he will make you. Preachers, he will make you. Oh God. Following Jesus is so simple, because you don't need, watch this, you don't need to know the way. What do you mean, pastor? You don't need to know the way. All you need to know is that he's a miracle worker. I don't know where the miracle gonna come from, but if I hang around him long enough, he's a miracle worker. I don't know where my sight gonna come from, but if I walk with him long enough, he's a sight giver to the blind. I don't know where my miracle gonna come from, but he's a way maker.
He's a way maker. Shout, he's a way maker. You don't need to be the savior trying to save everybody. You don't have to save a soul. All you gotta do is preach the way maker. All you gotta do is preach the way maker. He's a maker of salvation. He's a maker of life. He's a maker out of no way. God Almighty, I gotta go. Your job, our job, is to stop making excuses. Tell somebody they said nothing all morning, stop making excuses. Your silence is an excuse. Your lack of praise is an excuse. Your lack of singing the song is an excuse. Your lack of preaching, of teaching, of discipleship is an excuse. Discipleship will change. Let me come down tonight. Your job is to stop making excuses. Let him lead. Somebody say lead. Do whatever he tells you to do. Ask your neighbor, will you follow? Will you follow? He will make you. Will you follow? Ask your other neighbor, will you follow? 9:30 in the morning, will you follow? 9:30 in the morning, will you holler? Holler if you hear Jesus. Holler if you know he's a way maker. Holler if you know he's a savior. Holler if you can hear him. Holler if you know he pulls you out of a miry clay. You were broke, busted, and disgusted. Holler if he saves you. Holler if he brought you out. Holler, holler, holler if you can hear him. Jesus. Somebody holler, Jesus. Give God praise this morning.